Hi, everybody. I'm going to still be talking about the election. For those of you that are just now tuning in to this radio station, I have been covering a number of subjects. I'm a minister, so I'm going to be associating behaviors today in relationship to the laws of God. I'm mainly concentrating on the death penalty law. I was told I was frightening people, but all you have to do is go to the scripture I gave you, and you'll see that I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm trying to teach you. Well, anyway, I'm going to deal with the election because that's also a part of my ministry, especially when there seems to be some problems with African Americans and people of color. They're having problems registering to vote and voting. But anyway, before I get into the latest thing on hindering people to vote, did anyone out there get an email from Donald J. Trump? Subject: dinner invite for you and friends. They have an email for you to reply to, but let me read this. It's called Trump Pence. Make America great again. Friend, I don't know him. Would you clear your schedule if you could treat, if I could treat you to dinner? For a limited time, I'm offering supporters the chance to meet me on the campaign trail for dinner. I'm not his supporter. That's what gets me. I don't know how. In fact, I'm a Democrat. Then is when it gets to it. Contribute $5 or more today and be automatically entered to win. You and a friend will have the chance to attend an upcoming Make America Great Dinner event. Don't worry about making the reservations. We'll have that covered. The line below there, it says, enter now. I haven't entered anything. I'm just reading this email to you. And next week, after I enter now, I'll give you an update. Then he goes on to say, unlike Hillary, where you have to donate millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation in order to get special treatment from her, my campaign, friend, is about creating opportunities for all Americans. And I want the opportunity to hear from you, friend, over dinner, so I really hope you'll enter. I'm not a supporter. I'm not his friend. If it wasn't for my name on the email, I would be saying they're sending this thing to the wrong people. I'm going to give you an update of the campaign, how we're going to win in November, and share some insight into strategy that the liberal press and their Democratic cronies would love to hear, but they're not going to. those insights are only going to be reserved for top supporters like you. So, my friend, what do you say? Want to grab dinner with me? We'll take care of the flights and make sure you get a prime seat close to me. And all you have to do is contribute $5 or more to be automatically entered. Then we have a picture of Trump. It says, good luck. And under the bottom, it says his name, Donald Trump. But anyway, it says enter again. So they give you three chances to enter, looks like it. And I don't know what's going to happen after that entering. But I'm trying to figure out why he's sending me. Now, over since the past week, it appears that he was attempting to communicate with African Americans. I don't know. You know, I don't know. He pretty much has already told African Americans where what he really feels about them. He can't change it in midstream. So what the deal is, I'm not certain if I'm going to go. I don't know. I'll push that enter and see. And $5 is not very much. It looks like there's going to be a drawing. And I don't know. I'll sleep on that one. Okay, we're going to be dealing with a new report reviews voting rights problems during 2016 primary election season. Election Protection, the nation's largest nonpartisan voter protection coalition led by the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, under law. It's a lawyers group. They this week they released the 2016 primaries in review, a report that presents a broad view of the 2016 primary season and an overview of the problems voters face across the United States electoral system, particularly in states formerly covered by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Now, some while back, I read from, I'll do that again before the election is over, get into the rights. But I also had already previously given you a website, Project Vote Smart. .org. What it is www.votesmart.org. Now, they have pamphlets. It's a manual that they put out that's called Voters Self-Defense Manual, where they give you loads of information about the people that are making governmental decisions in this country. So I suggest that you go to www.votesmart.org and look at what they're doing. The report shares several voter profiles and gives detailed accounts of their primary election experiences. The barriers faced by voters this primary election season makes clear that 51 years later, we continue to need the important protection provided by the Voters' Rights Act in 1965. This is written by Christine Clark is the person that's stating this. And President and Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee, Christine Clark, for Civil Rights Under Law. Throughout the primary election season, election protection, you can go to this telephone number, 866 Our Vote Hotline. They receive more than they're receiving millions of people calling in and wanting to know what's going on. And many of the complaints that the voters across the country are complaining about the barriers that they have to face. Now, you remember when black folks could not vote at all and what they had to go through to even be registered to vote was in violation of law. But it went on until we got an act in 1965. Election protection will remain active between now and November to ensure that all voters are able to participate in our democracy. If you go to, I believe it's the state web page, California, you know, .gov or something like that, you'll get all of the information you need about registering to vote, who's eligible, and all of that. I started, you know, telling you some of the stuff, and I'll get back to it. Mainly, I wanted those that are off parole. You can be on probation. If you're out and you're on probation, you're not on parole, you're able to register to vote and vote. And we have until, what is it, October 24th, I believe. I'll give you that information again as well. Okay, the report highlights voting problems and litigation updates in 10 states, as well as the personal stories of voters from Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas. Voters like Rhonda Lynn of Georgia, who encouraged voters to stay in line with her when election workers told them to leave the polling place, shares her story in the report. Likewise, 2016 election protection volunteer Reverend Roger H. of North Carolina shares the joy he left when he helped a 93-year-old woman cast a ballot. Now, we did have organizations that would pick up some of the seniors and, you know, take them to the polls. But we have absentee ballot now. But that still doesn't help many of the seniors when they may not be able to understand what's going on. And we have propositions coming up that are very important. And there's one I'll talk about later that definitely is for poor people. And see, and it's known that a lot of poor people are not registered to vote. And there's something that's coming up that's important to them, and they won't even be able to vote on it unless we register them to vote. You know, that's as simple as that. We got to get them registered. all I can say. In addition to these and other voter stories, the report includes election protection, broad commendations for working toward better electoral processes for voters and election officials. With less than 100 days before the November 8 election day, the report urges Congress to restore the Voting Rights Act following the Supreme Court's 2013 ruling in Shelby Court, Alabama versus Holder, which gutted the act. For those of you that haven't heard, or it was said that African Americans lost their right to vote, or it was taken away, or we only were allowed so many years, looks like what they're trying to say, and that it has expired, and there's something that our elected officials, they're supposed to be doing to make sure that African Americans are able to vote. Now, even though it is unconstitutional to prevent anyone from voting and using all types of tactics to keep them from voting, we still have problems, okay? People are not allowing people to register. Okay. The report also encourages officials to develop and implement election administration plans to ensure smooth elections, just as voters must make plans to vote. The stories extracted from the thousands of calls to 866 Our Vote illustrate the American voters' strong will to cast a ballot that counts and highlight the problems that characterize the nation's electoral process. And this one was said by Jennifer L. Payton, writer and editor for the Voting Rights Project of the Lawyers Committee and author of the report. The voters who agreed to share their stories help to humanize the voter experience and illustrate election protection effectiveness during election season, says Payton. This report is part of Election Protection ongoing series of publications and interactive tools about election 2016, available at https://lawyerscommittee.org/publications/ep2016_brief1. You should be able to navigate yourself to it if you get to the lawyerscommittee.org. Go there and you will get more information about what's going on in the election. Now, all I know is, I don't know about this Trump thing and sending out emails to people. I don't know. We need to do some research because, like I said, over the past week, it appears, based on news media, that Donald Trump is now trying to communicate with African Americans because he sees how important our vote is. If we were all to go out and register to vote and vote the way our hearts tell us to vote, it's probably not going to be Trump. Okay? Now, we have number of other people that are running. I don't know what to tell you. If Trump pull in enough African Americans and Asians and Mexicans, the people he initially isolated, if he's able to pull them, I don't know how. He was invited to speak at the with the NAACP. He refused to do that. So how is he going to gather these African Americans or people of color who he knows that if he does not invite them into his campaign, he's not going to have a chance of winning? Now, they have a number of commercials out pertaining to the people that are running. So do your research, register to vote, and vote from your heart how you feel. This is the only way democracy works. You have a right to vote, and vote for who and what you choose. And if you don't exercise the vote, you're going to be left behind. Now, see, it's public record, people, according to address. I bought the 2000 election public record information, and they put it on a little DVD for me, CD, whatever it was, for me. And all I had to do was go in there and go to, I requested all the zip code areas in Oakland. And I can go to whatever zip code it is and go down to the address and be able to tell if anyone in that household is registered or has voted in the past. Now, I might do a comparison of 2000 and the 2016 election to see if, in the case I'm concerned about, are African Americans, because we have a tendency not to vote. We think our vote doesn't count. Why would I vote? Whoever I vote for doesn't come in. But see, that's what individuals who don't want you to use your rights want you to think, because if you don't vote, for certain, they have a better chance of getting in office who they want to get in office. You know, that's why I encourage everyone to register to vote and vote. And vote the way you want. Vote your heart. Now, there are several stores that I have gotten emails from, or various propaganda pertaining to grocery tax. Now, this is going to be on the ballot in November. Okay? A lot of people need to participate in the electoral system, especially poor people, anyone of color, because you're going to be hit with almost a 10% tax. As a matter of fact, what is it, 9.75? I bet you they'll raise it up to 10% very soon if we allow this grocery tax to go through. Because they know we're not paying attention. They're eventually going to raise it up to 10% anyway, but we don't have to give them some ammunition to do it very soon, hit us hard with that. Now, I'm going to read some other information to you pertaining to people. Okay? And the reason why you had better vote. I've given out a lot of this information already. I'm going to give some demographics and see how this the poor situation is related to crime, is what I was dealing with. Now, I told you that the 1996 Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996 is where this started with poor people, those receiving welfare, food stamps, Medi-Cal, and all of those things. It became evident that there was going to be some problems for those of us that were paying attention. So now I'm going to give out some information pertaining to poor people here in Alameda County. And continue on why it's important to vote. When it became clear to Alameda County that there was a large population of people that were on welfare that weren't registered to vote, Alameda County told the workers to help welfare recipients get registered to vote and remind them to vote. There was such a big complaint about that from the county employees. That's not in my job description and all of that type stuff, which they didn't realize it is a part of your job description when you in social services. A lot of people didn't understand what social services mean. So Alameda County couldn't force the workers to, you know, take that time and help them fill out the form and all of that. And it's understandable when you have, 100, 200, or even 300 on your caseload. So what they did is they included the voter affidavit in the packet when they applied for welfare or any of the services, as social services. They would include the ballot there. Now, I don't know how successful that was, but it still appeared that we had a large number of poor people that weren't registered to vote or voting, and many of them were African American. Okay? So, a lot of people, when I start talking to them about the demographics, I'm talking about Oakland mainly, but I will give you some information pertaining to other, you know, cities. I think there are approximately 16 cities in this county, I believe, 16. But anyway, I'm going to give you a short thing on demographics, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the importance of registering to vote. Here we go. Now, this is persons in ethnicity. They have broken down the caseload, okay, what's happening. And this is in Alameda County. And this is the own. This is a. Well, I'll put it this way. The Cal Learn program, which is the teen program, I had an opportunity to be a Cal Learn case manager as well. And these are our teens that are under 18 that's having babies and carrying on. And at that time, there were zero Pacific Islanders that was in the teen program, zero Native American, zero Filipino, seven Asian, six Hispanic, and 30 black cases in Alameda County at that time. These, and it was a total of 48. These are teens. I had them as young as 12 and 13 year olds that had babies. And I brought this up before. I would send them to their ministers because I do a intake, you know, interview type. And one of the questions I do ask them is, do they attend a particular church and things like that? I don't have that on the form, but I have something on there that will trigger me off to ask them about church and do they have a Bible and things like that. Now, since then, that caseload has tripled probably, and it's sad. You know, I've had one girl, my 13-year-old, I asked her, I said, well, baby, where is your mother? Where are your parents? And she looked at me and said, my mother is probably at one of these dope houses. But she said, could be that one over there, that one over there. She'd be gone, you know, for, you know, days. And after talking to this 13-year-old, one of the main reasons she had a baby is because she felt she was unloved. And if she treat her baby with love, that she loves them, she'll have someone to love her back. And that was sad to me. She didn't think anyone loved her. She was only 13. I mean, drugs is a serious problem here in Oakland. And many of the people that are drug addicts have children, and sometimes that leads to neglect. And that's where that 1996 Responsibility Act come into play. They will take your children from you. You don't have to worry about that any longer. Then, of course, you won't be eligible for the cash money like you were, because it was because you had children you were receiving this money. They do have programs for those that are single, but of course there's not going to be enough money for everybody that needs those services. You got to get a job. I've been saying that for I don't know how many years. You got to get a job to live here in Oakland. You're going to have to get a job. And it's going to get worse if we let this grocery tax go through. Now, I was told by one person, I don't know how true this is that they're already taxing sodas. Now, I don't know how true that is. I'll do some research on that. But watch out for the stores that you shop at. Make sure you get a receipt, because you want to keep track of your spending as well. But note what they're saying they sold you on that receipt. I have a collection of receipts that are coming in from a particular store who won't give you a receipt unless you ask for it. And what they put on the receipt is not what you bought. And it says non-taxable item, but alcohol and cigarettes are taxable. And when stores are doing things like that, that means that there's a lot of tax money that's not being paid to this city. And the only way they're going to be able to make up for it is through the grocery taxes. So what we have to do is put these small corner stores in check, because we have a lot of those. Report them for not, giving you a receipt, or your receipt does not reflect what you actually purchased. We have a lot of that going on. So we're just going to have to work on making sure that the small businesses in this community pay their taxes, be responsible for their taxes. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the CalWORKS program, because, see, this is the adult program, people that have children, and we have some fathers that are in the home that have come back to the home. And I'm going to give you some statistics. By ethnicity to start off with. That's how I'm going to deal with it right now. Pacific Islander, 919. Native American, 147. Filipino, 516. Asian, 6,311. Hispanic, 8,690. Black, 23,311, white, 4,332, and other, 2,322. Now, whenever I give these figures out and you see the Black population outnumbered of the others, well, people get upset when I give that figure, and what they'll say is there are more white people on welfare than Black people. Overall in this country, that is true, but not in this county, and especially not in the city of Oakland, because 65% of the caseloads were in Oakland. When I first brought this up, I attempted to tell people what the results of this will be. That businesses are going to leave because we won't be able to support them. We'd rather steal from them. Theft rate went sky high here in Oakland, so we had a lot of businesses that left. African American and white, they left. They don't want any part of what's going on here. Okay? They're not making any money. They're saying that the city is drug infested and that their theft rates are sky high. And when they did hire people from Oakland in particular, And they started doing this when Clinton was in office, and he asked the big corporations to help. Many of them had slots that they left available for ex-offenders and people like that that wouldn't possibly get a job if the big corporations didn't stand in. And they did. It doesn't shock me that we are losing a lot of our big businesses here because the people in Oakland can't afford them. The dollar store is killing everybody, you know, because the people in this city are poor. Now, you must register to vote and get out there and vote. Now, the new register after to vote affidavit is a lot different than it was, and it's a little more complicated. So you need to go to the web page and get that information. Now, I'm going to give you a web page. I'm going to be talking now on the frequently asked questions, but the web page is www.sos.ca.gov/elections/ I'm dealing with frequently asked questions. And the first one that they have is who can register to vote? Is that JJ?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You got a report?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good, good. Well, of course, I've got some juicy stuff for all of the listeners this morning. Popping off the list, Tamar Braxton and her hubby, Vincent, are, his name is Vincent Herbert. Now, they're back in the news again because rumor has it that they got into a fight so bad. Yeah, that Tamar had to call the police. Now, the police department is speaking out about the incident. Now, Officer Saunders of the APD came to investigate, and he said that they have had multiple calls in the recent past to the police department concerning domestic abuse. Now,
who's abusing who? Because you know that's a pretty tough sister.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Who is abusing who? Because, you know, Tamar is a pretty tough sister.
Now, that is unspecified, but I'm sure that they were abusing each other, especially since they called the police, and this has happened so many times. I'm sure that they are actually abusing each other.
They fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the kicker. Now, when they fight, they do a video to dispel the rumors that they had a fight. So they put this video out after they fight, telling everybody, oh, we love each other. Oh, I love him. I love her. However, they are trying to cover up the fact that they have had multiple calls. The police have had multiple calls out to the residents because of their domestic fighting. Now, it says that an unspecified person ended up leaving the home to stop the violence. Yeah, ended up leaving the home to stop the violence, but it doesn't say who left or why, and I'm sure that it was her husband, Vincent, that ended up leaving the premises. So now there. I don't understand couples that fight so much. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, couples fight. However, they're fighting so much that the police got to be called. And then they come out there and they say what they say. One of them, it doesn't say who, I'm sure it was Vince, that left the home to keep, to keep from being arrested. Okay? So, those two, they get a thumbs down in the marriage department. They get a thumbs down. And, Tamar Braxton, I'm sure that her nasty attitude has a lot to do with, you know, those two fighting all the time. And so far, she has such a bad attitude. I've reported previously that she was fired from the show. What is that? The Real. It's called The Real.
The Real.
I'm sure. I am almost positively sure that her attitude and her nasty mouth has plenty to do with the situation that's going on between her and her husband. So stay, listeners, stay here so you can check out the latest new news with Tamar Braxton and her husband, Vincent Herbert. Okay? All right, let me move on to the next one because I got to get this out. Now, Wendy Williams' marriage could be in trouble. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that a surprise? Now, according to the reports, Wendy's husband, his name is Kevin Hunter. She always talks about Kevin. Oh, Kevin. Oh, Kevin. She always talks about Kevin. Now it has been reported that he has been causing lots of trouble behind the scenes at her talk show. Now, that, I don't know exactly what he's doing or anything else. However, according to reports, her staff wants her to file for divorce. Now, she says that he's been causing so much trouble behind the scenes at her talk show that she is thinking about firing him. I didn't even know she worked for him. He worked for her. I had no idea that he worked for her, but he is causing so much trouble. What is up with that? Okay, that he's been causing so much trouble during her talk show that she is considering filing for divorce and firing him. Now they won't. The general consensus is everybody wants him gone. His entire staff wants him gone. Now, I am going to say, I bet you won't hear about her and her husband's marital problems on Wendy Williams' show. She's so quick to talk about anybody and everything, but I bet you won't hear about her and her husband's problem, and he's causing problem on set. That you won't hear that on her show. I turn it on and watch to see if you hear anything about Wendy Williams' problem on her show with her husband on the show. Now she is also Wendy Williams. Now listen to this. She's also in hot water because she says that there is no need for historically black colleges. Do you hear that? No need for historically black. Well, wait a minute. For the NAACP. Okay.
Okay.
Now she is in hot. Oh, yeah. She's in hot water because she doesn't think that there's a need for historically black colleges and the NAACP. Can you get, do you hear that? Now, the NAACP...
I would agree with her if we didn't still have a racial problem in this country. You know,
well,
we still have a lot of racial prejudices going on. So we need to keep all the organizations that were formed for that.
That's right. That's right. To quell the instances and to intervene in the instances of, you know, black issues, and they come out, they represent you, they speak for you, and provide a cover for you. And she says that she feels that historically black colleges and the NAACP are racist. Now, Wendy Wood, that's a whole other story. You know, Wendy, of course, I'm sure everyone has watched or maybe at one time watched her show, and her opinion means squat. She, as a black woman and a black, well, that's questionable because I'm going to say it. I think that she's a man trying to be a woman. Okay?
You
I did not. Oh, yeah. She, you know, what? She is a... People should not listen to anything that she says or want to know anything that she says, because I personally feel that Wendy Williams brings a bad light on the African-American community with her distasteful shows and her distasteful comments. Okay, so
but that's Cindy.
I'm sorry,
that's
Cindy.
All the time.
Oh yeah. I you know, I personally don't like Wendy Williams. And I don't feel that you know that anything that she says is pertinent or timely in that matter. But however, when you make comments against the NAACP and the historically black colleges in this nation, that you have got a problem.
Well, she's,
you know,
not the only one that feels that way, because there was a guy that was on the news just last week who has a problem with the NAACP. He says they're racist. Where did I... And that was on the Roland Martin show. I watched his
God.
News.
And, the NAACP, I'm going to say, they are not racist. They are protecting black people, just like they have always done since its
inception. People of color. People of color.
People of color, yes. People of color.
People have more problems than everybody else, but it's people of color. And see, the NAACP was formed by Jewish people. And a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, well, that is something that needs to be said, because we're all in the same boat when it comes to issues of race and color, and, you know, we've got to do better as a people. We have got to do better to combat this situation that seems to be looming over our heads. For, you know, what, since the inception of slavery. And the NAACP has been available to represent people of color that don't have a voice, that have no way of speaking out and talking to the people about this racism that exists in our country. And I still cannot believe that it is 2016 and people are still racist. That goes on both sides. With the,
you're
the,
right. And now go on and do your clothes, because it's almost time for me to shut down.
Well, let me finish out with end up with this. Now, Wendy, we're speaking about Wendy Williams. Now, she has been very, I know that everyone is familiar with Terrence Howard with the Empire. Yeah, with the Empire. Now, he says, now, he forgives her for her comments. Now, you know, Wendy Williams has been very vocal about the fact that she wants Terrence Howard fired because of his personal life drama. That's what it is quoted as. But she has been very vocal about she wants Terrence Howard fired from Empire because of his personal life. Now, Wendy is also, now, Terrence's comment is that he says that Wendy is very informed, and for his firing, he is saying that he forgives her for saying that. Now, there is a lot, a growing swell of controversy surrounding this issue, and after she has been calling her for his firing, well, there has been a big backlash amongst the online community because they want Wendy. They want Wendy scrutinized because, you know, how could she say something about someone that, and his own personal issues? If you're not involved in any of the personal issues that he has, well, what are you doing commenting about? Okay.
Close down, JJ.
I just want everyone to know that they want the listeners and the viewers to boycott Wendy Williams' show, meaning not watch it because of her comments about the NAACP. And the comment about the historic black college.
Okay, keep us posted on that. Now you close down. Close down.
Yes,
we have to cut
Yes, it's 10. So I am going to say, you know, like I say every week, if the stars have something to say, they better get it from who? Me, JJ. All right, well, thank you all for your time, and you have a wonderful day, Cheryl, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, are you going to go and film the thing today?
I'm not sure. I still haven't heard back from anybody. So
I'll give you a call shortly.
Yeah, most likely no. But if I do, we will have updates and photos of the event.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a good day. Peace out, y'all.
You too. Okay. She gave us that entertainment stuff. I didn't hear nothing about the Tamar Braxton or Wendy. So I'm going to have her keep us posted on that. But anyway, we do have some racial problems in this country still. It is clear that we have racial problems because it wouldn't have been necessary to have a Black Lives Matter protest. I told you folks to get your kids out of the streets long time ago. I should not be seeing children of elementary school age out by themselves at 9 and 10 o'clock at night. They got these kids in elementary schools. If they're not selling the drugs, they get them hooked in elementary school. This is crazy. We have elementary school children carrying guns. Not just here in Oakland, all over this country. And our kids are going to go to hell in a handbasket. Okay, it's time for me to do my close. I'll talk more about the election as we go along, because I do want everyone to register to vote and vote. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.